Hi, Kevin McCullough. You know, I am just jazzed when fall rolls around, and perhaps this year even more so than in recent years, because we're starting to get life back to normal. Kids are going to Taekwondo and ballet, and school's half in session, and you know, it's pretty soon going to have those crisp fall nights where I look forward to crawling in bed. And I have even more reason to look forward to it because of the Giza Dream Sheets from MyPillow. Now, Mike Lindell decided a few weeks ago he was going to do something for my listeners that he's not done for just everyone across the country. He's going to let you get two sets of Giza Dream Sheets for the low price of just one set. That's right. He's getting a buy one, get one free offer on the Giza Dream Sheets today. Now, I got to tell you, I've slept on a variety of sheets. I've never felt anything so soft, anything so comfortable, anything that so envelops you and just makes you want to stay in bed longer simply because you're wrapped up in their cottony goodness that is specially made from a special type of cotton that he gets in only three places on planet Earth. Anyway, try it for yourself. You're going to get a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee if you don't like them, just like the pillows. So what do you have to lose? Go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Listener Specials for the buy one, get one free offer on Giza Dream Sheets. And use the promo code KMC when you call 800-506-2641. That's 800-506-2641, promo code KMC.
Balance of Nature is fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I had begun to notice after 10 days with Balance of Nature, I felt better, more energetic. And believe me, for me, that's something because I have energy anyway. But as old as I am, that was really something to start really noticing. You know, we're all responsible for choosing what our attitudes are, but I had a better mental outlook. I mean, I always try to be positive, but there were subtle things in me that I began to notice. I just felt a difference with this.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KMC.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio. It's breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Kevin McCullough, and here we go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Obliterating confusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
All right, a ton of stuff to get to today. How are the markets shaping up as we head into a holiday week? We'll talk with David Fisher before we're done. Dr. Gina Loudon from Team Trump on what to be expecting in the days ahead, but also some further analysis of where we're at legally. Andy McCarthy joins me right now on Kevin McCullough Radio.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
He is playing the role.
As well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
This week, we will get it ready to file.
Sydney, what's
and it will be biblical.
That was Sydney Powell with someone from Newsmax over the weekend. She also made an appearance, in a couple of different spots where she referenced, oh, it was the Howie Carr Show, where she referenced some of the filings she intends to file this week. I know one thing is for sure. People on the president's side of this debate are certainly getting antsy, and they're getting antsy with Rudy Giuliani. They're getting antsy with Sidney Powell. They want to see something happen. They're tired of their left of center friends rubbing in their face the fact that they've had all these cases thrown out. But where do we actually stand from a legal standpoint? Is this as historic as it seems to be? And what do you make of where we're at with all these different legal challenges? Someone who has been in the legal profession for a long time, has seen a lot of big cases come his way, is former federal prosecutor Andy McCarthy. And he now joins us, a Fox legal analyst, of course, and one of the best legal minds in American punditry today, if not the top. Andy, I appreciate you being with us. I I only usually need to find you or Jonathan Turley and sometimes both to get a real consensus of what actually is going on in terms of legal matters. But there are a lot of moving pieces as we have now entered the 20th day post the election. And I'm just curious from your standpoint, you know, it really looks like Team Giuliani has taken a major series of beatings in the state courts. But, you know, there's some people that are saying that's all kind of necessary if this is ultimately to get to federal jurisdiction where they're going to have the bigger case to make. And I'm just curious, you know, the mayor really well. You're familiar with his legal work. Where do you assess things are at as we sit here on this Monday before Thanksgiving?
Well, Kevin, I think that Rudy, you know, when I worked for Rudy, he was a chief federal prosecutor. Now he's in a very different role. He's, you know, the advocate for, you know, the private advocate for the president, who has a litigation position, and he's in there trying to give the president, who doesn't want to concede the election, the best shot that he thinks he can give him. It's not the same as enforcing the federal law, which kind of requires you to, as a prosecutor, do what's right, even if it's beneficial to the other side. As the president's lawyer, Rudy's only concern is, you know, pressing the president's case. So I think what's happening here is the president doesn't want to concede, and it's humanly it's understandable because the election is within 1% in many of the key states. Basically, what it seems happened to the president this time is what happened in his favor the last time, which is that these battleground states that broke for him in 2016 slightly broke against him in 2020, and he doesn't want to let that go without testing it. So the problem is, legally, these claims are pretty weak. And he's trying to get them. They don't have a lot of evidence of fraud. They have a story about fraud, but it's not really one that they've so far been able to back up with hard evidence. And because it's important to the country, I'm talking now about the way the legal system is designed, because it's important to the country that we get a president, finally elected, and then an orderly transition can take place so that by January 20th, as the Constitution provides, the next president can hit the ground running, defending the interests of the United States. This is on a very tight timeline for lawyers, much tighter than they're usually used to dealing with in litigation. So, you know, as we know, the states start to certify today. They're all supposed to certify by December 8th. And we're supposed to have the Electoral College vote December 14th. So they're laboring to try to put these claims together in federal court with very weak cases in very short time frames where the courts aren't going to have a lot of patience for them.
Now, let me ask you about that, because, you know, there's obviously been, and you've heard it, you've been on the cable circuit for the last several weeks talking about it. But you've got people that are saying, show me the evidence, show me the evidence, show me the evidence. So I'm scrolling through Twitter today. You've got an affidavit. John Solomon writes it up in Just the News. You've got an affidavit today of a woman who was a poll watcher in Michigan. She is giving sworn testimony in the affidavit under penalty of perjury. I'm assuming that she not only heard and was instructed as someone who was there to tabulate in a fraudulent way, to change dates on ballots, to mark them a certain way, regardless of what the actual vote counted, et cetera, et cetera. She's got a whole several pages of it that they've now highlighted and they've stuck on social media. Some people say, well, it's an affidavit. It's under penalty of perjury. It's not, you know, it is a case. It is a piece of evidence. Others look at it and say, at what you just said, these claims seem pretty weak. Where does something like that fall in the continuum?
Well, what you have to remember about that, Kevin, is that that affidavit or the claims of that particular witness have been around for a while. There's been a lot of litigation in Michigan. And what frequently happens in litigation, of course, is that there's sworn testimony on both sides of a question. And the fact that it clashes doesn't necessarily mean that anyone is lying. It could mean that, you know, they have different perceptions. They could be wrong about things in a good faith way. There could be a lot of things that explain discrepancies. But you know, I think the thing I have to keep remembering about Virginia is that a Republican judge there by the name of Kinney heard a lot of these claims on both sides in connection with the way the count went in Detroit, which is the subject of most of the
The Cobo Arena.
And he rejected them. You know, he basically said that the witnesses that were proffered for the Trump side of the argument either, you know, misperceived some of what they were told or weren't aware of all of the operative facts, or were making claims that that didn't seem to hold up based on everything else. Now, you and I obviously are not in a position to say one way or the other, this is true or it's not true. That's what the, you know, that's what we have the judge for. And that's what happened in Michigan. And the problem with that for present purposes, Kevin, is, you know, elections are basically state law issues. They get into federal court only if there's constitutional violations. And the thought that a federal court is going to reverse the findings of credibility made by a state judge regarding state law in Michigan is highly unlikely. You would have to be able to prove some kind of a federal constitutional claim.
Interesting.
To get the result reversed in state court. So, yeah, I think unfortunately for the Trump campaign, you know, they got beaten in a number of these litigations, principally that one that I just described in Michigan, and there's not much a federal court can or would do about that.
Let me ask you, we're out of time already. Real quickly, 20 seconds on whether or not the Pennsylvania constitutionality of the legislature setting the parameters will likely be looked at by the Supreme Court or not. Andy McCarthy.
I don't think so, Kevin, because it doesn't involve, it only involves about 9,500 votes. It's not enough to change the result, and they don't want to hear the case.
Okay. Interesting observations. Andy McCarthy, appreciate your perspective today, as always.
Thank you, Kevin.
Kevin McCullough, we've got a big show still ahead. Don't go anywhere. David Fisher, Gina Loudon, lots more. Hi, Kevin McCullough. You know, we've been telling you about the good work of Christian Solidarity International for a few years now here on Kevin McCullough Radio. And the thing that I am so moved by is that year after year, I come to you and I say, hey, there are women and children that are facing desperate circumstances, heinous circumstances, in fact, when you think about the fact that they are enslaved people. You know, slavery has become a very important topic in the American conversation over the last few years because of racial justice issues. Yet they don't seem, in this country and in many of the Western countries, no one seems to pay attention to the fact that slavery still takes place every single day on parts of the continent of Africa, Sudan being one of them. Tens of thousands of women and children are enslaved right now. I am so thankful that you, as listeners to this show, over the last several years, have on average helped more than 200 of those slaves be liberated every single year. And friends, we are approaching another important deadline for this year. Our goal is 192 of these women and children to be liberated from the slavery conditions that they're in. Our partner in this work is Christian Solidarity International, and they have a track record. In fact, they have helped now liberate more than 100,000 Sudanese slaves, and you can read all about it at the website at csi-usa.org. But here's what I really want you to think about. Our goal of 192 is very close to closing in on. In fact, as of this past weekend, we are now down to one. We've now liberated 153 slaves in Sudan in just this calendar year. Without your help, that wouldn't have been possible. But friends, what that does to me is it makes me concerned about the remaining 39 women that are not yet liberated that we have the opportunity to. We know that we can liberate them because their negotiations are already underway. We know that a $250 one-time gift would also give them everything they need to start their life over again once relocated to South Sudan, where they were taken captive from. friends, if we can get them back to their families, to their regions, to their homes. Imagine what a gift that would be even for this coming holiday season. Giving the gift of life and liberty to someone this Christmas would change everything in their life. That's why I want you to call right now, 888-342-1010, 888-342-1010. And when you do, know this, the first several of you that are able to do this, in fact, the next 20 people that can liberate a slave, we have one donor who's willing to match that slave for slave. Will you call right now? 888-342-1010. It only takes a couple of minutes. $25 a month for 10 months, $50 a month for 5 months, or a one-time gift of $250. 888-342-1010, 888-342-1010.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I had begun to notice after 10 days with Balance of Nature, I felt better, more energetic. And believe me, for me, that's something because I have energy anyway. But as old as I am, that was really something to start really noticing. You know, we're all responsible for choosing what our attitudes are, but I had a better mental outlook. I mean, I always try to be positive, but there were subtle things in me that I began to notice. I just felt a difference with this.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KMC.
Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
Well, from the lips of the former prosecutor on the election issues and still what's being decided there, let's get really hyper-local and focused on some of the challenges that New Yorkers are facing. I don't know if anybody saw it on social media last night. Governor Phil Murphy was caught dining out with a big group of people somewhere, and he just got given the what for, like I have not seen somebody do to an elected official in a long time. Although I've wanted to say as much to Governor Cuomo in recent days, and my next guest has gone so far as to do so, filing a lawsuit and saying very publicly that the governor of his state is kind of out of his jurisdiction in trying to tell him how to celebrate Thanksgiving. Joe Borelli, the city minority whip, rejoins us. And Councilman, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. And today we get word that your district, your beloved Staten Island, is going to be classified as an orange zone. Do you think this has to do with actual numbers or any type of provable problem that's there? Or is this Cuomo's way of just getting back at you?
Well, the positivity rate of cases on Staten Island has grown. That's certainly true. That's certainly not an exaggeration. But, I mean, this is we're turning this into an orange zone. We're turning half the island into an orange zone. We are the most car-friendly borough in the city of New York. We have 90-something percent car ownership. So new Staten Islanders will do what Staten Islanders do, and they'll go to New Jersey or they'll go to the North Shore. Well, they'll go literally, you know, 2 minutes down the road and get their hair cut at place B rather than their usual place. You know, it's just unfortunate. I was talking to my gym manager, you know, a nice guy. I see him in the morning. I should probably see him more mornings, but I see him every once in a while. And he's got 3 kids. He's going to get laid off. He's going to get furloughed at least until things reopen. And that's a great thing to happen to a family man around Christmas time.
Well, it's pathetic what the governor has done, and the mayor has not been much better. But let's talk about why you decided to file the lawsuit over the weekend.
Look, the science is with us. I mean, we have the World Health Organization, UNICEF, the UN. We have a dozen peer-reviewed journal articles. We have the CDC. The consensus among the medical and scientific community is that schools are safe. In fact, the governor is actually right. The governor was saying this also today. Schools, especially K-8, you know, younger kids, yep, are safe. They're not super spreader environments. And we know the harm we're doing by not having them in school. So we know we're doing harm. We can't justify the risk reduction because it's not there. And yet the mayor and chancellor decided to close schools arbitrarily and capriciously. And that's the basis of our lawsuit. And ideally, we'll have a hearing within 10 days and hopefully reopen schools for at least the youngest kids.
Joe, it doesn't make any sense from the standpoint, well, from a lot of standpoints. One, if he cares about his constituency at all, it doesn't seem to make any sense. It doesn't make any sense politically speaking, because he's obviously irritating the majority of the constituency. And hey, look, he's got a 7-to-1 advantage in registrations, but that doesn't mean that they have to, like, you know, vote for him in lockstep. And he's making enemies out of people that he needs to be recruiting to help with the public response to the pandemic. It seems like this is a lose. Why is it just because his last name is Cuomo that he feels untouchable, unreachable? Is it because he doesn't have kids that are dealing with the schools right now? I mean, what's your assessment of why we're getting this kind of leadership from the governor?
And soap, and he's trying to scrub away the stain of his decision to send COVID-19 patients back into nursing homes, causing more death than any decision made by any executive in the United States of America. And no matter how hard he tries to scrub or try to hide it or try to pretend like it's not there, that stain is there, and he knows it, and he will always be remembered as the man who probably handled COVID worse than any other governor in the United States of America.
Well, and that would be fair by all measures, but I don't think it gets any better for him to take these actions. I'm really concerned, Joe. I've got a lot of friends. My kids aren't in the New York City Public School District's classrooms, but I have tons of friends that are. And the stories that I get and the concerns that I get about what the last year has done to them developmentally, mm-hmm. the ability to stay on track educationally. And for some, this is going to impact even the long term sense of getting to go to college and do other things based on how they, you know, develop during this stage of life. Yeah. It seems abusive.
No, I mean, like I said, we know the harm done to kids for not being in school. But let's go a step further. Let's actually give the DOE credit for something. They did a pretty good job of keeping schools COVID-free and safe and well-ventilated and socially distanced and mask-wearing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when we had the testing and tracing corps, you know, tell us about how the schools were doing, they even admitted it, that the schools are doing good jobs. I think they sampled, they took a sample of, like, some of the 264,000 kids that are opted into in-person school, and only 138 kids so far have tested positive. I don't want any kids to get COVID, but that is an astoundingly low amount compared to the rates we see in the general population. As the governor rightly pointed out, schools are actually safer for kids to be in than home.
Yeah, and at this stage, you know, it should be all about what they're doing. So let me ask you this. If you're successful with the lawsuit, what happens? How does this get resolved?
Well, hopefully we get the remedy of forcing them to reopen schools. I mean, if they want to come to the table and maybe we'll withdraw our lawsuit, if they limit it to perhaps just the younger kids, K-5 or something, that's something we would be happy to work with them. That's what actually the city council was hoping would happen. You know, look, when you have older kids in high school, they do carry the disease differently, that they're more susceptible, and they do a better job of doing remote learning, and they don't need the babysitting aspect of school.
That's true. Been.
So that's a compromise, and that's where we do hopefully like to end up. But if we win the lawsuit group, they can go scratch and we'll open schools.
Well, and the problem there, for as you mentioned, for so many, the daycare issue, you're going to prevent parents from being able to work, which economically is going to continue to drain the economy for the city, and the kids are not going to be helped simultaneously. I mean, there's no good upside to this. So we're hoping that you're successful with the outcome there. Last question. Thanksgiving's just a couple of days away. Have you gotten any more feedback about your taunting of the governor about your Thanksgiving Day feast?
No. We're just excited to be together. I mean, the reality is we're together most days as between my kids and my niece, we're struggling to babysit due to school closures. So the same people that see each other just about every other day or so to watch each other's kids will be together on 11/26.
Well, that's good. And a happy Thanksgiving to you, Councilman. We appreciate you being here.
You too.
All right. There he is, Joe Borelli, on Twitter at Joe Borelli NYC, doing a good job for our city and great job for freedom. Kevin McCullough coming right back. Gina Loudon joins me, the latest from the Trump camp. Stay with us.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I had begun to notice after 10 days with Balance of Nature. I felt better, more energetic. And believe me, for me, that's something because I have energy anyway. But as old as I am, that was really something to start really noticing. You know, we're all responsible for choosing what our attitudes are, but I had a better mental outlook. I mean, I always try to be positive, but there were subtle things in me that I began to notice. I just felt a difference with this.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KMC.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. You know, I am just jazzed when fall rolls around, and perhaps this year even more so than in recent years because we're starting to get like life back to normal. Kids are going to Taekwondo and ballet and school's half in session, and you know, it's pretty soon going to have those crisp fall nights where I look forward to crawling in bed, and I have even more reason to look forward to it because of the Giza Dream Sheets from MyPillow. Now, Mike Lindell decided a few weeks ago he was going to do something for my listeners that he's not done for just everyone across the country. He's going to let you get two sets of Giza Dream Sheets for the low price of just one set. That's right. He's getting a buy one, get one free offer on the Giza Dream Sheets today. Now, I got to tell you, I've slept on a variety of sheets. I've never felt anything so soft, anything so comfortable, anything that so envelops you and just makes you want to stay in bed longer simply because you're wrapped up in their cottony goodness that is specially made from a special type of cotton that he gets in only three places on planet Earth. Anyway, try it for yourself. You're going to get a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee if you don't like them, just like the pillows. So what do you have to lose? Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener specials for the buy one, get one free offer on Giza Dream Sheets. And use the promo code KMC when you call 800-506-2641. That's 800-506-2641. Promo code KMC.
Confusion, amplifying truth, and pursuing clarity. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
What I observed also was all of the leads that they were calling to the meeting, most of them had Black Lives Matter face mask on. Also, the blue mask with votes in the corner on the face, like the one our governor, Gretchen, wears in her interviews.
All right, Kevin McCullough, that's the firsthand testimony of a witness who has written a sworn affidavit in the vote fraud issue in Michigan. The Federal Elections Commission chairman has come out and said there is no question that fraud has taken place. And yet the media continues to drum one side of this story almost incessantly. We had planned on speaking with Dr. Gina Loudon, who, of course, was part of the Trump campaign effort all year long. She is a little under the weather today. But instead, we have the distinct honor of speaking with Phil Klein, who is the former attorney general for the great state of Kansas. And he's currently the head of the Amistad Project. General, it's good to have you back. Thanks for being here. What do you make of where we're at this point in time, 20 days after the election?
Well, we're at a place that if the American people learn of the evidence that is out there, they would demand answers and recognize that a substantial investigation needs to be undertaken, and they would support it. What we have is an orchestrated effort to share private data from government with private organizations to create vulnerabilities for the infusion of fraud in the election. And we've seen that in the core urban areas, and it's funded by Mark Zuckerberg. Now, I'm not saying Mark Zuckerberg wanted them to use his money in this fashion, but let me speak to you about just a couple of facts. Mark Zuckerberg has spent $400 million that he's funneling through charities to pay government officials in the urban core to dictate how they manage the elections. And in fact, he's actually paying through these charities the people who are counting our ballots and the people who kicked America out of the counting rooms by boarding up windows and so forth.
Right.
So we've never seen hidden elections in America before. I don't know if you remember, Kevin. I remember it well. I probably have a few years on you. But Bush v. Gore, we were in the counting room looking at the hanging chad.
I remember well. 37 days. Yeah. 5 years went by in that month.
And now they still haven't allowed us inside. Now, I've investigated, prosecuted a lot of people. And if I have a search warrant, and America has a search warrant, the law says we get to be inside these rooms. So if I have a search warrant and I'm looking at a financial crime that involves documents, and the guy locks the door and won't answer the door, and I see smoke coming out of the chimney, that's called evidence. And we have the right to be inside. And there's even more than that. I mean, there's how the results were. There's government-private contracts that allow private parties access to voter registration files and entering registrations. There's all kinds of evidence of problems in this election.
Well, given that, Phil, and we are on a short leash here because obviously the Electoral College meets and there's a process that goes forward. What are you anticipating will be necessary to happen this week and next week to get to a point where you feel like this can actually have an impact?
Well, I believe legislatures need to be informed and call for investigations. And I believe we need to focus our litigation on what's called the Equal Protection Bush v. Gore violations. And what I mean by that is the Zuckerberg money effectively created a two-tier election system in America, one for Democrat strongholds, one for Republican strongholds. I'll give you just one example. Zuckerberg money into Delaware County, Pennsylvania, created one of these drop boxes for every 4 square miles and one drop box for every 4,000 residents, making it easy for them to vote. In the 59 counties that Trump won in Pennsylvania, there's one box for every 1,100 square miles, and they consolidated in-person polling. So what you saw is the state of Pennsylvania saying, if you live in the city, we're essentially going to come by and pick up your vote. But if you live out there where you support Trump, go on a weekend vacation and engage in a Where's Waldo effort to find a drop box. That's disparate treatment. They also did it with how they cured ballots. They treated Democrat ballots and Democrat strongholds differently than Republican ballots and Republican strongholds. That's classic violation of equal protection. So getting that suit together, showing the harm, and getting it up to the Supreme Court is another one of the objectives.
How can listeners that are hearing this and saying, I have a great deal of anxiety about what's happened here, how can they get involved?
Well, first of all, if you've witnessed something where one voter is treated differently than another, please speak out about it. We've got a website called got-freedom.com, got-freedom, and that's G-O-T. They can go there and get updates on what we've got going. And I would check several different media sources rather than rely on just one to make sure that you're getting the full picture of what's happening.
All right. Attorney General Phil Klein, thank you so much for your time today. That's got-freedom. Did I do that right?
Yes.
got-freedom.com. Got-freedom.com. Kevin McCullough, coming right back. Hi, Kevin McCullough. You know, we've been telling you about the good work of Christian Solidarity International for a few years now here on Kevin McCullough Radio. And the thing that I am so moved by is that year after year, I come to you and I say, hey, there are women and children that are facing desperate circumstances, heinous circumstances, in fact, when you think about the fact that they are enslaved people. You know, slavery has become a very important topic in the American conversation over the last few years because of racial justice issues. Yet they don't seem, in this country and in many of the Western countries, no one seems to pay attention to the fact that slavery still takes place every single day on parts of the continent of Africa, Sudan being one of them. Tens of thousands of women and children are enslaved right now. I am so thankful that you, as listeners to this show, over the last several years, have on average helped more than 200 of those slaves be liberated every single year. And friends, we are approaching another important deadline for this year. Our goal is 192 of these women and children to be liberated from the slavery conditions that they're in. Our partner in this work is Christian Solidarity International, and they have a track record. In fact, they have helped now liberate more than 100,000 Sudanese slaves, and you can read all about it at the website at csi-usa.org. But here's what I really want you to think about. Our goal of 192 is very close to closing in on. In fact, as of this past weekend, we are now down to one. We've now liberated 153 slaves in Sudan in just this calendar year. Without your help, that wouldn't have been possible. But friends, what that does to me is it makes me concerned about the remaining 39 women that are not yet liberated that we have the opportunity to. We know that we can liberate them because their negotiations are already underway. We know that a $250 one-time gift would also give them everything they need to start their life over again once relocated to South Sudan, where they were taken captive from. Friends, if we can get them back to their families, to their regions, to their homes, imagine what a gift that would be even for this coming holiday season. Giving the gift of life and liberty to someone this Christmas would change everything in their life. That's why I want you to call right now, 888-342-1010, 888-342-1010. And when you do, know this, the first several of you that are able to do this, in fact, the next 20 people that can liberate a slave, we have one donor who's willing to match that slave for slave. Will you call right now? 888-342-1010. It only takes a couple of minutes. $25 a month for 10 months, $50 a month for 5 months, or a one-time gift of $250. 888-342-1010. 888-342-1010. Everywhere I go, oh, oh, I change it all.
Your Money Matters CEO of Landmark Capital, David Fisher, exclusively on Your Money Monday at Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, great to have you with us. It's a Money Monday, and on the Money Mondays, we go to David Fisher, who's the CEO and founder of Landmark Capital, to talk about your portfolio and what's going on. And David, I always am glad to talk to you, and an early happy Thanksgiving to you and yours as we delve into this. I got to tell you a funny story. I'm at a hardware store this morning because we've got Grandpa coming in to see the ankle biters for Thanksgiving. And but don't worry, we won't have more than 10 in our house. There's a couple of things because Grandpa's a fixer upper that he always is like tooling around the house wanting to make sure things are. And I didn't want to have him do that. So I thought I got to get a couple of things fixed before he gets here. And I'm at the hardware store this morning and I hear one aisle over. I hear the owner. It's a little mom and pop shop. And I hear the owner just arguing. They're arguing about Trump and Biden. And he goes, don't give me that. My 401k is just fine today. And they say that it's going to crash if Joe Biden comes. And the guy turned around and goes, well, that's just because of the vaccine. And they got it. They went, huh. And they parted ways and went their separate directions in the store. And I thought, oh, my goodness. Well, sure enough, here we are today. Vaccine is driving the markets, is it not?
Well, it's factoring in about 100 points only. So, you know, we probably should call this Medicine Mondays instead of Money Mondays because another vaccine came out. I mean, 3 weeks ago, it was Pfizer. 2 weeks ago, Moderna. And today, AstraZeneca. It's a British drug out of Oxford there. It's not having the bang effect. So as each drug has come out, the impact on the market has been less, almost non-existent right now today. So it's only about 100 points in the Dow. And in fact, this drug, there's many advocates of the drug are saying it's great, but it's probably never going to get in the United States because the FDA is probably not going to approve it. So efficiency is about the same as the other ones. There's two different tests that they did, but it wasn't tested enough and broad-based enough. So what the good news is we're going to get a vaccine, and it'll probably be on the next 2 to 3 weeks is what all the analysts are saying. But as far as the market, I think Morgan Stanley says it all this morning. He said that the market, this is Wilson from Morgan Stanley, the key, Michael Wilson. He said that the markets are just getting a bit tired right now. So, you know, that's, we're getting lack of stimulus. In fact, the Mnuchin's asking for the $455 billion back from the Fed, which is going to leave the market empty-handed from stimulus from January 1 till inauguration. So we could have some problems coming up, but the market's just kind of stuck in a small trading area. It's not really booming. It's not busting, and it's not being influenced by vaccines.
Gotcha. All right. So there you go. And my crabby hardware owner and proprietors can argue all they want to about it. Hey, last week you were talking about a pretty big development with China, and that was they have authored this huge trade deal and they left the U.S. out of it completely. What's the fallout from that?
Well, the fallout is that some of our allies, four big ones, New Zealand, Australia, Japan, and the Philippines, are partnering with them. President Trump is retaliating, and good for him. He's closing on a deal of issuing a list of 89 Chinese companies, mostly in the aerospace industry, that would be unable to access U.S. technology exports. What this would mean to China, about $54 billion of their Chinese bond market could be affected by this sanction, according to Goldman Sachs. And the bigger concern is that the U.S. could cut off its dollar funding to the Chinese bank. And currently, about half of Chinese funding comes from $675 billion of foreign currency, specifically U.S. dollars. So imagine we cut that off. That's, you know, $750 billion almost, and then a huge funding. This would cause the Chinese would have to reciprocate. Probably what would happen, I'm speculating, but they've alluded to this, and they've already said they were going to be doing more of this. They would have to sell off U.S. treasuries, their foreign asset, to manage these, supplementing their banking system. So we could be on a teeter of a major dollar fall coming up, and that's what's also, you know, being talked about in the news with Goldman Sachs and Citi.
Yeah. Well, given that that's all going down, Goldman Sachs and Citi made a huge announcement about the dollar. Tell us about what it means, you know, for the investor.
Well, it's pretty startling. They did this just shortly after we talked last Monday. So it's brand news to your listeners, might be old news to the markets, but it's not being talked about. But Goldman Sachs predicts a 6% decline in the dollar next year, and Citi says it's going to plunge as much as 20%. Now, let me put this into perspective, what that means. We've had a 4% downward movement in the dollar this year, which has caused gold to move about 25% up and silver to move about 35% up. If we have a 6% down, let's say Goldman's right, 6% down in the dollar, that means gold would equate to an upward movement around 36% and silver would move over 50%. If Citi is right, and these numbers, it's hard to get your head around this number now. If Citi is right, a 20% dollar downward movement, first of all, that's a crash in the U.S. dollar currency. That would equate to a 90% movement upward in gold and 130 to 140% in silver. So if you, when you start putting all these things together, this is why I can see now Goldman Sachs said 3 weeks ago, dump dollars, buy silver, why Citi said buy gold, why Wells Fargo said buy gold. All these banking systems who operate in the dollar are seeing the sell-off by the Chinese of the dollar, are seeing stimulus still coming next year. And if this thing happens the way they're predicting, we'll see a big rally in metals next year.
Well, and given that, with everything else that we've seen by the unpredictability of the markets and the virus and the financial recovery still trying to take hold, and then a potential administration change, friends, there's a lot of uncertainty in the markets. And one of the things that David's doing right now is he's offering you that examination called the Financial Blueprint. And I want you to call and request one. David will walk you through it personally. This is a service that he provides personally, and there's a great little incentive for that when you call. It is a 1 ounce pure silver American Eagle coin when you go through the Financial Blueprint with David Fisher. It's just an amazing, beautiful coin. I collect them. They're part of my 401k, actually. 844-604-2575. 844-604-2575 is where you get all of that. And you can also request more resources online at landmarkgold.com. David Fisher, always appreciate you being with us on these Mondays, and a happy Thanksgiving to you.
Ancestry, the global leader in family history and consumer genomics, released results of a survey commissioned to understand how consumers viewed their health risks during the COVID-19 pandemic. According to results, almost half of all Americans and nearly 50% of parents said the COVID-19 pandemic has increased their interest in understanding their possible genetic health risks. Dr. Ron Park, Executive Vice President of Health and DNA at Ancestry.
The COVID-19 pandemic has made clear to many people the importance of taking proactive actions to protect their health and their family's health. The survey shows that this applies to not only concerns specific to COVID-19, but also other health issues such as genetic risks.
Ancestry Health, launched last year to increase access to personalized preventive health care, will soon be powered by next-generation sequencing, an advanced technology that provides a comprehensive analysis of inherited health risks. Visit ancestry.com/health.
Balance of Nature is fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I had begun to notice after 10 days with Balance of Nature, I felt better, more energetic. And believe me, for me, that's something because I have energy anyway. But as old as I am, that was really something to start really noticing. You know, we're all responsible for choosing what our attitudes are, but I had a better mental outlook. I mean, I always try to be positive, but there were subtle things in me that I began to notice. I just felt a difference with this.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KMC.
What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us. Well, the insistence upon what's going on in the political arena in the McCullough household has taken a new venture over the weekend. So the lovely bride was out getting her hair done. And so it was me and the ankle biters, and we went and got a little Saturday afternoon picnic. We got some drive through at Wendy's. We went over to one of their favorite parks, and it was sunny, but it had a little chill to it. So we were all in jackets and kind of bundled up. But we ate the lunch, and then they started playing, and we had a great time. Time to come home, and we're in the car, and somebody, I think it was the middle one, Jonathan, said, "Dad, I think that we should make a new law, such and such." I forget what it was. And I said, "Well, you know, you could do that. You could try voting on it." I think they actually wanted to pass a new law that kids could have as much iPad playtime as they wanted to. And I said, "Well, you could propose that law." I said, "But, you know, as the dad, I would veto it." And immediately my 10-year-old, who has been, he's become a politics junkie. Immediately he goes, "Well, Dad, all we need is 2/3 to override you." I said, "Well, that's not true. You need 2/3 in the House of Representatives. And then Mom, who is the entire Senate, has to have a 2/3 vote. And she has to, in 2/3 majority, also back you." And he said, "Well, that's not fair. She's the only senator in the Senate." I said, "I know." Well, all of that led to a very lengthy discussion on Saturday morning about forming the Republic of the McCulloughs, which we now have. We now have representation for every bedroom. That's the House of Representatives. We have a Senate, which is controlled and operated by the vice president, my bride, and I'm the chief executive. We have a balance of powers. We've appointed we've appointed the judges. And it's been interesting to see my kids go through all this. And the first law they passed was to increase guaranteed iPad time in exchange for making their bed and keeping their room clean. They used to get 30 minutes. Now they get 45. And my 10-year-old, who's the Speaker of the House, was savvy enough to negotiate an increase of 15 minutes every day he takes the trash out without having to be asked. Friends, I should have done this a long time ago. There's a serious advantage to teaching civics to your kids. One is the orderly passage of getting things done and obedience. I'm kind of digging it. There's no downside thus far. Anyway, Kevin McCullough, we'll see you next time.